They ain't got a brain in their head. You got to jerk them around. You jerk them over here. Jerk them over there. Right? You know, and that's not the way to live the Christian life. There's a way. Happiness is the Lord, and walking with the Lord is the way to find real happiness. And so Paul always gave all the churches some rules to live by, things to achieve happiness and to achieve fulfillment and to achieve spirituality in their life and the blessing of God. And so we start in verse number 1 to 10, and we're going to look at the rules here, the rules. Again, rules to live by. Notice what it says. And we'll read the first three verses, and then we'll pray, and we'll go from there. He says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Father, I pray you bless the word tonight. And Lord, as we begin to look at these rules that you, Lord, gave us to live by when it comes to the second coming, and Lord, and the things that are going on around us, we don't have to panic. God knows we don't have to panic. Lord, we've read the book. We know what's going to happen. We have the playbook of life. And Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, read the playbook and make application so when these things come, and they are coming, that we'll be able to handle them in the way that you see fit and the way that we'll be blessed. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when it comes to these rules to live by, verses 1 to 10 really is about being watchful. Being watchful. I should have read all those verses down to 10. Let me go ahead and read verse 4 down to 10. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet." The breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Amen. Now, again, in this first little area, verses 1 to 3, this idea of being watchful. Now, he says, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Paul didn't, he said, listen, and Paul, as far as Paul was concerned, he was living in the last days. Is that not right? I mean, looking at the Roman Empire and Caesar and all that was happening, and it all could have come right down the line there. And we know that it didn't, because, Paul didn't have the perfect understanding of the 2,000-year period, right? And remember, all these books had not been written. God gave Paul a revelation. He wrote his epistles, but the book of Revelation wasn't written till after this. This was written prior to the book of Revelation. So he doesn't have a complete revelation of what God's doing. He's going on the information he has and looking around and seeing what's taking place. Now, little did he know that he was writing for 2,000 years later. But as far as he's concerned, he was writing for right then and what was being played out in front of him with the Roman Empire. And again, you got to understand, as Paul writes these things, this is a prophetical book. And talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in Paul's day, he was expecting it any moment, any hour, any day. And he says, that's why he says of the times and seasons. Now we know that no man knows the day or hour when Jesus is going to come, right? You know why I don't preach on a whole lot of prophecy and try and make predictions? Number one, I'm not a prophet. That's an important thing right there. Every now and then I prophesy, because if God tells me something and says X, Y, Z, this is going to happen, okay, I can, because God gave it to me, I can tell you that. But I'll tell you right now that God didn't tell anybody the day or hour he's coming back. That's a secret between the Father. That's a secret in the Father's hand. And the amazing thing is, because the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all one, but that's a secret that the Father controls and not the Holy Spirit nor the Son. Now, that's a great mystery in itself. How that God can't tell himself something. God keeps a secret from himself. And that's why God's ways are past finding out. We cannot begin to understand God. Do I believe that? Yeah. Can I possibly understand it? No. There's no way I could possibly understand that. And And because you can't understand, you can believe everything, but you, in our human reasoning and abilities and our limited brain power, we can't begin to understand the works of God. And so he says we know the times and seasons. That's why I always try and be careful, because I think when people start making dates, they lose all credibility. They do lose all credibility. I'm still of the opinion that the coming of Jesus Christ could be as late as 2068. I am of the opinion that it could be that could be the time period. I mean, we knew it. We thought it was 40 and it wasn't. We thought it was 70 and it wasn't. What's the next date? 120. That's 2068. I know people get mad when I say that. Oh, especially people in their 60s and 70s and 80s. You know, I told one brother, he about come unglued. I said, it's a possibility, brother. He said, that's not going to happen. I said, whoever thought we'd be here in 2021? Nobody. We were all praying to God Y2K was it, and it wasn't. Right? And everybody said, that can't be, Brother Chris. That just can't be. That can't be. Why couldn't it be? You don't know the day or the hour, do you? We know the times and seasons. Are we living in the times and seasons? Yeah. But could it go on a little longer than we think? It did for Paul. That's exactly right. And these people would say, well, time's up, time's over. Let's just sit on the hill and look up in the eastern sky and wait for Jesus. The people who did that in 2000, they missed a whole two decades of serving Jesus Christ. And people dying and going to hell because we're not trying to bring them to Jesus Christ. Hey, when Jesus said, occupy till I come, that means be busy till I come. And laboring in the field, that's why in the parable of the laborers in Matthew chapter number, I believe it's 22, that they were out there laboring, and he hired laborers all the way up to the 11th hour. Now, if Jesus comes in 2050, I won't be alive. Brother Dale won't be alive. That's a long time from now, right? You know, you might live to be 100 years. I don't know. That's kind of sketchy. That's kind of sketchy, right? Chances are, 30 years from now, right? 30 years from now, I'm not going to be alive. Brother Doug won't be alive. Brother Paul won't be alive. Brother Mike won't be alive. Miss Susan won't be. Well, Miss Susan might be alive still. But you understand what I'm saying here. Miss Leslie, you might still be. Ladies do have better longevity than men do. Right? Brother Andrew won't be alive. Brother Gene, sorry. You'll be gone. I'll be gone. Is it a possible? Is that possible? 30 years from now, Lucy will be 42 years old. I mean, think about that. Sarah will be 68. Right? Are all these things possible? Yeah. Now, I know, you know, hey, and people who didn't plan for any retirement, they're really upset. You know, I'm gonna rack my credit card up. I'm not gonna make any plans, you know? And here it comes. You actually, Jesus tarried his coming, and you actually have to pay those bills. And you might have to pay that bill at the funeral parlor. And you might have to buy that grave plot. You know what I'm saying? You know, and again, the thinking is wrong. We look for Jesus every day, but we better be working for Jesus every day. Because the times and seasons began in Paul's day. How much more in ours? And, you know, we got to consider these things. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. People are not expecting it, Jesus, to come when he comes. What did Jesus say in Luke 17? He said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I mean, really? What if hard times actually did come to this nation and persecution did arise and the church is meeting in the woods somewhere, or in the caves, or in an abandoned building somewhere. You say that couldn't happen. Don't tell me it couldn't happen. It absolutely could happen. There's no telling what could happen. You know? And again, you know, hey, the world's not leaning towards Jesus. They're leaning away from him. The world's not in revival. When the Antichrist takes over, the world's not in revival. The world's in complete decline. And we're seeing it in front of our eyes. We're seeing a great falling away. Doesn't it say in 2 Thessalonians there'd be a great falling away before the son of perdition's revealed? The Antichrist is revealed? For when they shall say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Look in Luke 12. Luke 12 tonight. And again, we got to be watchful. Hey, you know, be observant. Pay attention. Can I tell you right now? Anytime you're outside of your house, you got to be watchful now. Because anything can happen. There can be a drive-by shooting. There could be a terrorist attack. There could be a riot in front of your eyes. You got to pay attention to everything that's happening. We were at Walmart last night, and this crazy guy comes in, and he sees this guy, these two kids, teenagers, 17, 18 years old. And he walks up to the guy, and he says, "Is that a ponytail?" And he says, "No, it's a man bun." Teenagers, right? And the guy says, "You're the man I'm looking for." He says, "I don't even know you. How could you be looking for me?" And the guy's hopped up on something. I mean, you know, and he's furious, and he's on the phone with somebody, and he says, "Buddy, I don't know you. I don't even know. I don't know anything. I don't know what you're talking about." And he's got this like crazed look. He's going to kill him any second now. And then the boys walk away. They're laughing. He said, "Welcome to Rossville." We were Fort Oglethorpe, you know, Fordo Walmart. He said, "Man," he said, "Holy, you know, I thought the guy was going to beat me, beat me up right here in Walmart." And the guy's walking around the store acting crazy. Don't tell me you don't got to pay attention. I stopped. I said, "I'm going to see what's going to happen here. These are kids. You know, I ain't feeling very manly these days, but I'll come to their defense. There's something I can grab off the shelf to hit him with." Right? You know, that's what men do. Men find weapons laying around. Right? You can always hit him with something. But, you know, I'm thinking, I cannot believe that this guy is accosting these two teenagers he doesn't even know in Walmart. That's how crazy things are in the day in which you live, right? The other guy, I watch the other guy, he's talking to his girlfriend, he says, "Woman, you better do what I say." And he's acting crazy. And she just walks off. And I thought, is he really going to slap his wife or girlfriend here in the store? And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And he's walking around crazy talking on his phone. And I'm just thinking, man, you got to pay attention to everything in the day in which we live. Because anything can happen at any moment. And how much more spiritual things? Hey, people need to wake up and look at the spiritual climate of our country and where that's going and what's happening with our government. You know, things are changing before our eyes. And, you know, and you're thinking, my goodness. Hey, be watchful. Did I read the verse? Luke 12, 35. Notice what he says there. Let me get on over there. It says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, ye may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so doing, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffer the house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour that you think not." hey, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I don't want him to find me somewhere I'm not supposed to be, doing something I shouldn't have been doing. You ever been caught doing something? Your dad ever catch you doing something? Walk up on you, and you thought nobody was watching. All of a sudden, dad walked in, and you were busted. Now, some of you were better than I was. That never happened in your life. I mean, but we would walk, my brother and I, we'd be in there fighting, and there that you our room, our that wall coming down the kitchen would cast a shadow because of the kitchen light, and we'd see dad's shadow out of the corner of our eye, and we'd all of a sudden sit on the couch, act like we weren't doing nothing. And he'd come in, and he knew we were in there doing something, but he didn't catch us, because we were doing what? Even when you're fighting, you got to watch out of the corner of your eye. We were doing it quietly. But we were wham, 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 you know. But you're doing it quietly, right? Kick and bite and all them things. But when dad wanted to catch us, because if dad caught you, you're going to get the real thing. And so, you know, we see that shadow. We're sitting there. He walked back in and we bust out laughing because we knew we got away with it. We got over our mad because of the terror of dad. But the we'd always be doing stuff. And the worst thing in the world is dad catch you. And dad loved to sneak up and catch you. So we'd all be watching, you know, watching, look around, pay attention, you know, because you don't want to get caught. When you're being evil, you got to watch. Well, what did God command us to do as Christians? Watch. Be therefore also ready, for the Son of Man cometh the hour that you think not. Look in Luke 17. I should have stayed in Luke. We got a bunch of verses there. Look, Luke 17. And in verse number 24, Luke 17, 24. And he says, for as lightning that lighteth now one part of heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of his generation, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, are we living in the days of Noah? The earth is filled with violence. And it's getting worse every day. I mean, that guy kicked the lady, old lady down the, well, old lady, she wasn't old, she was young. But she was 38 years old, and he kicked her down the escalator at the high-end store at the mall. He walked past her, turned around, and did a drop kick her all the way down the escalator steps. Can I tell you, you got to pay attention to what's happening nowadays. People getting killed all over the place, getting beat, getting brutalized. You got to pay attention. When you get out of your car somewhere, you got to pay attention. You know, see what's happening around you. You got to be observant, because we're living in the days of Noah, and it's going to get worse. Because the criminals are emboldened. When you stop prosecuting low-level crimes, then those crimes become every day, and the next crime begins to, the higher crime above it begins to become common. That's why under Mayor Giuliani in New York, they brought crime down to nothing, because they used the broken window theory, and that is every low-level crime must be prosecuted to keep higher crime or more serious crime from happening. And it worked. But let me tell you, if you can steal $1,000 and not be prosecuted, if you can assault someone and not be prosecuted, if you can steal a car and not be prosecuted, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to have their guns and they're going to be killing people. When they say you can't chase a criminal, remember I had this car chase just recently, and the guy wrecked his car and killed himself, and they blamed it on the police for chasing him? He was a criminal. They chased him from over here in Alabama. Absolute criminal. And he died in the car chase. And mom said, they shouldn't be chasing him. Well, how are you supposed to get him if every time you show up they run? You know? That police officer who killed that kid, she didn't mean to kill him. She thought she was tasing him and she killed him. But he had brutally assaulted people. He was involved in some kind of bank robbery. Arm robbery. He was a criminal, was why he was running. Are we supposed to let them kind of people go who brutalize people, assault them, threaten them with weapons, pistol whip them? Are we supposed to let these people go? If you let those people go, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is the earth is filled with violence, just like it was in the days of Noah. So you better be prepared and be wise and know what's happening around you, because every time you go out, there's a possibility you could be brutalized. Right? You got to pay attention. We're living in the days of Noah. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot, that they did eat and drank and brought, and they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. They are moving sodomy into everything. I mean everything. It is in everything. And anything I see that has sodomy in it, I'm rejecting it. I don't want a sodomite to cut my hair. I don't want a sodomite to serve me at the dinner table. I don't want a sodomite to work on my car. I don't want a sodomite to be my doctor or my nurse. Right? I don't want a sodomite necessarily to be my school teacher. Hey, and see, they have made being normal. If you're normal, there's something wrong with you. If you're a pervert, well, you're celebrated in this country and around the world. They are emboldened like you wouldn't believe. And that's why in Lot's day, they could do what they did. They were going to sodomize them angels. They had that much, they were that bold. And the perversion that happened, the abuse, what do you think the cry of Sodom was? It was child molestation. Because that's what sodomites do. You say, Brother Chris, that's not very nice. That's the truth. And God help us when they don't want you to tell the truth about them. You could get on there and read their own literature out loud what they do, and you'd be arrested for saying the things that they do. If you got up and read the thing from the Man Boy Love Association, where they're advocating having sex with 2-year-olds. And you read that, read their literature out loud. They'd want to arrest you for reading their literature out loud, but that's what they're practicing. That's how perverted this nation's become. The whole world's become that way. And I saw something where the NFL was going to celebrate, going to have the rainbow. I said, hey, I'll never, you know what? I don't want to see none of it. If I see a commercial, I turn it off. If I'm watching a show and it comes on, I switch channels. I'm having nothing to do with it. They have that Dancing with the Stars, and they got two women, a sodomite woman dancing with one of the other ladies, and they're celebrating it. It's perverted, and it's wicked. And we ought to call it what it is. Hey, open your eyes. We're living in the last days. And evil is called good, and good is called evil. We have a few more people unfriend me this week. That's hilarious. We'll have 10 new people friend that follow. They'll like the church, and they'll like the they'll follow the service, and then I'll say something like that, and 5 of them will drop off. I said, well, they didn't like what I said. I don't care if they liked it or not. We're not trying to win popularity contests. We're preaching the truth. And this kind of perversion's got to be rejected. Hey, I don't want a rapist serving me dinner or being my doctor or having any part of my life. I don't want a drug addict doing it either. Hey, I'm against all this kind of perversion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a man that's an adulterer and he's a whoremonger, I don't want him to do anything for me. All sin is sin. Let's call it for what it is. You know? Hey, these people that have a lack of moral code and conduct are not the kind of people that I want in my life. You know? And we ought to call things for what they are. And, you know, and I just look at people's lives and I think, you know, hey, I pray for them. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's certain things that, no thanks. You know, I have a code of conduct. And I'm going to preach the gospel of Christ. And I'm going to tell the truth and say what's right. You know, and I know people don't like that when I do that. I know they don't like that. I walk up on them and they're smoking a bag of marijuana, I'm going to say something about it. You know, they're shooting some meth up in their arm, or what, not meth, but some, what do you call that? Fentanyl. I'm going to say something about it. Hey, we got to take a stand for right and righteousness. You know? You ever had someone high on drugs work on anything for you? They couldn't do it right if their life depended on it. You know? And they hired a guy down at the place, tire shop, I won't say which one, but he was a drug addict strung out on meth. I didn't want him touching my stuff. I told him, I said, hey, get somebody else. You say, why? Because meth addicts aren't good at anything except getting high. You know? And I said, I told the owner, I said, what is up? What are you doing? You can't have this guy here. He's going to mess everything up. You know? Because it makes a difference where you jack the car up, right? Let's jack it up on the oil filter. You know? No! No! You know? Let's crack your rim. No! And I'm not being ugly and mean here. I'm just, hey, you know? Would you want your surgeon to come in high on meth right before the surgery? I don't think so. You know? You want a crackhead teaching your kids? No, you don't. We're living it. Played out in front of us. It says, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. These things are real. And then he says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Because she was so invested in Sodom and Gomorrah that she couldn't help but look back. I don't want to be invested in Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to be invested in heaven, New Jerusalem. We got to be watchful. Look in chapter 21. Chapter 21 of Luke. And again, this idea was being watchful. Luke 21:25. And he says, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations, perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. They say, global warming, major storms. No kidding. That's a sign of his coming. You know, increased oceanic activity is a sign of his coming. Increased tornadic activity is a sign of his coming. Severe weather, it's a sign of his coming. Distress of nations, it's a sign of his coming. Men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when they see these things and begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, when these things are beginning to come to pass, what's the Bible say? Lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. He says, he spake to them of the parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Hey, Israel became a nation in 1948. The budding of the fig tree. And that's where you start counting from. 1948. That's why 40 was 1998. 70 was 20... was it 8? 20... I mean, 70 is... 2018. 2018 passed. Right? And what's 120? 2068. So, we're looking for Jesus. We're lifting up our heads. But it could get a whole lot worse than what it is right now. You know what? You ever read over there where it says, blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth? God takes people away so they don't see the wrath that's coming. What did God tell Hezekiah? Hezekiah, you let them Babylonian bastards see all you had, and they're going to take all you got. But it ain't going to happen in your day. It's going to happen in your children's day. And he said, well, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I'm not going to see it. Listen, I don't want to see the implosion of America. I don't want to see America be nuked one day with nuclear weapons from China or Russia. But don't think it couldn't happen. Don't think that our whole government and way of life could completely collapse. I mean, they've been making shows about it about a long time. And there's some crazies who would love to be serial killers, and they would love that kind of thing. Ain't no place you'd want to live. Don't tell me those things can't happen. Greater societies have come to complete collapse than ours. And we're well overdue for collapse in this nation. You know, most societies last 300-400 years, and they collapse. And we've been around long enough, we're overdue for that. You say, the 21st century, nothing can collapse. Don't you believe it? The Soviet Union collapsed and became Russia again. Did it not? Nations collapse all the time. And we just, in this mindset that that can't happen here. China's planning our destruction as we speak. And they have, listen closely, not a million man army. Not a million man army. We got a million man army in America, right? They got a 20, 30, 40, 50 million man army. They have more aircraft carriers than we do. They got more planes, more bombs. You say, well, look at them. They're inferior. That's why they got to have more of them. Right? But you know what? Have you ever studied history and looked at the Zulus, how they overran the English? It was by sheer numbers. How did we get run out of Korea to the 48th or 49th parallel? It was sheer numbers. How did the Russians defeat the Nazis? Sheer numbers. 10 people ran a line and one person had a gun and everybody had a clip to put in that same gun. They said when the first guy gets killed, you pick up the rifle and jam your clip in it. When he got killed, the next one picked up the rifle and put his clip in it. It was sheer numbers. General Custer's forces were superior at the Little Bighorn. But it was math that made him lose. We have 328 million Americans, and they almost got 2 billion people. It's math. And the kings of the East in Bible prophecy, they are rising up. And why do you think Afghanistan's important? Because they're going to march through the land right into Israel to fulfill Ezekiel 38 and 39. And nobody is going to stop them. Isn't it exciting times in which we live? They're coming. They're coming. And they're going to march through the land. And these things are going to happen. And anyone who makes a peep is going to be attacked. Russia already said, you make one peep against us, against Taiwan, Hong Kong, What's the other one? No, it's not Japan. They got their three things there. There's three. It's Hong Kong, Taiwan, and there's another one. Well, it's not Tibet. It's another. It's an island. You know what I'm talking about. There's three islands there, and they said they remember during the Olympics, or was it just Hong Kong and? Yeah, they added the other two nations, didn't they, to say they had more medals? Yeah, they added Hong Kong and Taiwan. And they said, if you make one peep against Taiwan, we will nuke you. And I promise you they meant it. You say, what? Hey, we're living in troublous times. And there ain't no telling what tomorrow's going to bring. So what? Watch and be what? Sober. Isn't this stuff fascinating? Chapter 21, look at verse 34. And it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. America's so caught up in pleasure and partying and the next, you know, what's on Facebook, what's on Bachelor, what's on, you know, all these crazy shows that people follow, that they don't have one thought about what we're talking about tonight. Not even one thought about it. And will they be taken by surprise when it comes? For as a snare shall come upon them, on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What are we doing? We want to escape this, do we not? I'm telling you, it's coming. And when people see something's coming, they can do something about it. People who saw the economic collapse coming fared pretty good during the economic collapse. Right? Not everybody suffered through the Great Depression. There were people who saw it coming, and they actually got wealthy during the Great Depression. There were people that saw World War II coming, saw things coming, and made money off of it. Hey, there's some things coming, and you got to see it coming. You got to pay attention. Eyes open. Be sober. Be vigilant. See what's happening around you. And don't be like the, you know, the ostrich that's got its head in the sand. People, Christianity has its head in the sand, and they just think, well, that could never happen here. And I'm telling you, it could happen here. And what are we going to do when it does? Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What's the ideal? We're going to need each other in the church more than we've ever needed it. But where are most people on their thoughts when it comes to the church? We don't need to go to church. What do they always tell you? We don't have to go to church to worship God. We don't need to be in church every Sunday. You know? We don't need all that. We can do just fine at home by ourselves. Can you? Do you think they're going to know what to do? You think they're going to hear God's still small voice when the hour of trouble comes? That's when they're going to be trying to call the preacher. And that's when they're going to be trying to get to the church. But I'll tell you right now, that's a day late and a dollar short. All these Christians that are shallow and don't know anything, who thinks that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. If they come to church, they know that's not the truth. Panicked about it. I'm going to take the mark of the beast. I'm going to go to hell. Hey, if you was in church, you'd know that that's a big lie. If you read your Bible every day, you'd know that's a big lie. You see, but again, when things are happening, people say, hey, do I need to be in church next Sunday? You should be in church every Sunday. It's why our nation's what it is today. If everybody was in church every Sunday, we wouldn't be having the problems we're having. Because people would say no to this foolishness. And I'm just telling you, instead of Christian people drinking in the restaurant and getting drunk and bad things happening, you say, what is that? That's that surfeiting that the Bible speaks of. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I'm not going to worry. If I'm having fun, nothing else matters. Until it ain't fun no more. Until your life's turned upside down, then it ain't fun no more. And the whole problem in every generation, is always God's people living wickedly and carelessly. And we got to be better than that. Sad thing is we're not. I'm not saying us that are here tonight, but collectively Christianity is in terrible condition. And people get mad when you start preaching the truth. You know? That's none of your business what I do. Well, just remember that when you're in trouble, when you call me. That's none of my business what you do. Right? Don't call me at 3 in the morning when you're in jail. That's none of my business what you do. Now, I make it my business because I love people. Don't misunderstand me. And yes, I'm going to answer the phone. But what if I have the attitude that they have? I'm glad God doesn't have the attitude we have. Or he'd never answer the phone. Thank God he does. Let's pray, and we'll turn the feed off and read this letter and have our prayer requests. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Pray that you'd bless it. Pray you'd help us be sober, be vigilant, and to watch. Lord, to lift up our heads, to see what's going on around us, to see what's happening in the nation, to see what's happening in our neighborhoods. God, to see what's happening in our churches. Lord, to see what's happening in our own homes. Lord, it's so sad sometimes we can't even see what's happening in our own homes. And even worse, we can't see what's happening in our own hearts. God, help us to be able to see. You said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And who hath eyes to see, let him see. And God, help us not to be blind. And Lord, bless the word and speak to all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let me read the first letter. It's Brother Underwood.